Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed. Basically, because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote unquote, me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start of scene. The group stands at Frostburn Academy. They find the academy grounds in springtime. Birds are singing, trees and flowers are blooming. The whole area is warm and inviting.
Valerissa's eyes widen in delight and wonder as she takes in the sheer beauty of Frostburn Academy, her heart swelling with joy and gratitude at the sight before her. She inhales deeply, savoring the sweet perfume of wildflowers and freshly cut grass that fills the air, mingling with the soft melodies of birdsong and the gentle rustle of leaves in the warm spring breeze. She turns to face Lila and Elendil with a radiant smile, her voice soft and filled with a mixture of awe and excitement as she speaks. This is truly a place of magic and wonder. A realm where the beauty of nature and the power of knowledge come together in perfect harmony. It is here, amidst the soft petals of the flowers and the delicate branches of the trees, where we shall discover the truth of our destiny and find the courage to face the challenges that lie ahead with faith in ourselves and in the love we share for one another. She steps forward with confidence and determination, a sense of purpose shining in her eyes as she looks around at the sights and sounds that now fill the air, filling her with a renewed sense of strength and hope for the journey that now awaits them all.
Gromgar watches as Lila and Elendil step forward with Valerissa to enter the academy grounds, a look of deep respect and admiration for the bravery and determination they have shown thus far. He steps up behind the group, his posture solid and strong, his eyes scanning the surrounding landscape with a practiced air of caution and readiness. He smiles at his friends, the warmth of camaraderie shining in his eyes as he speaks. May Sahanin's light guide you through the trials that await. Know that you shall not walk this path alone, and that the bond that has been forged between us shall endure through any adversity we may face. He raises his battle axe proudly, its gleaming surface catching the morning sun with a warm, comforting glow, a silent vow of loyalty and support that echoes from his heart and extends towards all who now walk alongside him in the quest that now unfolds before them.
Can you feel it, dear Elara? The power of the Avatar influencing this demiplane. The whole area is filled with its divine energy. There's Asmodeus in Elara's thoughts.
I feel it. Its power is immense and flows throughout the lands of the Nine Hells. I believe that by defeating the Avatar of Corellon and taking his divine spark, the darkness can be kept at bay. It would bring a semblance of balance to the Feywilds and prevent the darkness from spreading. Elara replies back to Asmodeus softly.
The air around Mistweaver tingles with anticipation as she steps into the grounds of Frostburn Academy. Her senses alive with the vibrant energies of springtime that seem to shimmer and dance in every flower and leaf around her. She feels the warmth of the sun's rays upon her fur, the soft rustling of the grass beneath her paws as she moves through the academy's lush grounds, and the gentle hum of the academy's ancient magic that flows through the very stones and mortar of the buildings that surround them. As she looks around at the group and their surroundings with wonder and joy, her heart fills with a sense of excitement and purpose as if the very air itself has whispered secrets of the journey to come, and called out for her to join the quest that now lies before them all.
As Gromgar steps into the academy grounds, he finds himself once more in awe of the beauty of this realm. The vibrant colors of the springtime flowers, the gentle song of the birds, and the sweet aroma of the blooming wildflowers all serve as a reminder of the magic and wonder that can be found in even the most unexpected of places. He turns to face the others, his eyes shining with a newfound sense of hope and purpose as he speaks to Alara with a deep conviction. It is here, amongst the delicate petals of the flowers and the ancient stones of the Academy's buildings, that we shall discover our true potential and rise to face the challenges that now await us. I have no doubt that with the love we have for one another and the unwavering determination in our hearts, we shall overcome any obstacle that stands in our way and bring light to all who have fallen into darkness. Let us embrace this quest with open arms and let our footsteps be guided by the light of faith and hope.
Elendil looks around at the beauty and magic that fills Frostburn Academy, his heart swelling with a sense of reverence and wonder at the incredible sights before him. He turns to Lila and Gromgar, his voice soft and filled with an uncontainable excitement as he speaks. Can you feel the magic that surrounds us here? It pulses through every flower and blade of grass, every stone and tree, filling the very air with an energy that is both ancient and alive. And within it all, we sense the presence of our destiny, the echoes of the songs that have called us to this place and to this time, urging us on to fulfill the purpose that has been laid out before us. He takes a deep breath, inhaling the sweet perfume of the Academy springtime blooms before exhaling slowly, his gaze meeting the eyes of his beloved companions as he continues with unshakable resolve. I know that the journey ahead is not one that any of us will undertake lightly. There will be challenges, trials, and sacrifices that we must face and endure.
As Lila steps onto the grounds of Frostburn Academy, her eyes are drawn to the breathtaking beauty of the place. The vibrant colors of the blooming flowers, the gentle melodies of the bird song, and the sweet fragrance of the wildflowers all seem to come alive under the warmth of the sun's rays, creating a symphony of colors and scents that is both soothing and exhilarating. She takes a deep breath, filling her lungs with the fragrant air before turning to face the others, her heart filled with a profound sense of love and loyalty as she speaks. I can feel the power of the Academy's magic coursing through the land, calling out to all who seek knowledge and understanding. It is here that we shall unlock the secrets of our past and our future, and discover the true depth of our potential. And with the love and support of all who stand with us, I know that there is no challenge that we cannot face or overcome. Her smile shines bright and warm as she looks at each of her friends, her voice laced with a deep conviction that seems to resonate within all of their hearts.
The life on the school grounds becomes busy as students head around the buildings. Hundreds of young mages learning from the teachers in the school on various forms of magic. They draw power from the land itself. The mountainside is charged full of arcane energy, helping the students learn how to manipulate the weave.
As the students of Frostburn Academy hurry by, Mistweaver's keen senses pick up on the subtle energy signatures that mark the magic flowing through them. She watches with fascination as they draw power from the very land around them, their faces contorted in concentration as they manipulate the arcane weave with growing skill and proficiency. She purrs softly in approval, her tail twitching in a rhythm that matches her keen thoughts as she observes their every movement with a practiced eye of appreciation. She turns to Alara and Lila with a knowing glint in her eyes, a proud smile spreading across her muzzle as she speaks in a voice that echoes her innermost thoughts.
Ilara's eyes glaze over slightly as she sees the students of Frostburn Academy at work. A pained look washes over her face. Oh yes, I can see them, she says aloud, but not directed at anyone in particular. Drawing magic from the very land. Learning spells, performing rituals, she shivers, but seems to pull herself together. I miss those times.
Where should we perform the Song of Remembrance? He asks his companions. We need to be out in the open where anyone could potentially hear it and feel the pull of the ancient melody. He scans the sprawling academy grounds, taking in the sheer vastness of the area. He's about to suggest the Grand Central Square when a small commotion catches his eye.
Lila glances over at Elendil's mention of performing the Song of Remembrance, her heart pounding in anticipation and excitement. She knows that this moment holds immense importance and potential for their quest. She nods in agreement with his suggestion to be somewhere in the open, where the song's impact can be felt by anyone present.
Yes, Elara agrees with Elendil's suggestion. The open is best. We have to find the right location. She pauses, thinking. Maybe one of the large clearings nearby? I'm sure a good part of the campus will be able to hear us there. She smiles confidently, having thought of the perfect place.
Mistweaver's ears perked up at the mention of a large clearing nearby. She nods her head in approval, a gleam of understanding in her eyes, as she speaks in a voice that echoes the thoughts of her innermost thought. I believe Alara's suggestion is wise. One of those large clearings could be just the place to perform the Song of Remembrance. It is important to choose a location where our voices can reach those in need of our song, and where they can be drawn into the ancient melody. Perhaps the one near the top of the mountain? I hear the students talk about its beauty and power to absorb and amplify arcane energies. It would be perfect for our song.
Gromgar's eyes light up at the idea of a large open clearing that could be used to perform the Song of Remembrance. He nods his head in agreement with Alara's and Mistweaver's suggestions, a fierce determination burning in his eyes as he speaks in a voice that echoes the strength and resilience of his dwarf heritage. I'm not one for grand ideas, but I can't deny that the beauty of the mountain and its clearings may serve as the perfect stage for our song. And as for the students of Frostburn Academy, I believe we will find many souls who are willing to hear us out and to join us on this quest for balance in the Feywild. He grips his battle axe tightly, the gleaming surface catching the light of the sun in a way that speaks of the unwavering loyalty and courage of the dwarf people.
After a few moments, the makeshift stage is set. It is now or never to lure the Avatar to the group.
Valrissa feels a sense of nervous anticipation as she watches her companions gather around the makeshift stage. The power of the Song of Remembrance seems to radiate off of Elendil's whispering seraphim lute, calling to something deep within her very soul. She takes a deep breath, steadying herself with the knowledge that this is a momentous occasion, one that may well determine the fate of not only herself, but of the entire Feywild. Now is the time to begin, she cries out, her voice ringing out in a way that carries her words to the farthest reaches of the campus. Let the Song of Remembrance begin. She watches in awe and amazement as Elendil strums the first few notes of the ancient melody, feeling a wave of energy wash over her that is at once powerful and comforting, the echoes of countless lives and times all woven into one glorious sound.
With trembling hands, Elendil carefully plucks the strings of the whispering seraphim lute. The notes begin to flow from the instrument like water from a spring, each one resonating with an energy and a meaning that is both timeless and all too familiar. He swallows hard against the lump that rises in his throat, but manages to speak aloud to accompany the ancient melody with his voice as it seems to echo through the very air. Come now, heed this call. His words are barely above a whisper, but they carry far more weight and sincerity than they would suggest. And as he sings the first verse of the Song of Remembrance, the energy of the song seems to reach out beyond the confines of the academy, seeking and yearning for those who could hear its call.
The sound of the whispering seraphim lute is amplified by the magic-charged rounds, and soon it can be heard reverberating through the halls of the academy. Students start to come outside at the sound of the music. The sound seems to transport the people hearing it back, in time to the day Sihanin and Corellon left the Feywild.
I can see them beginning to stir. Elara exclaims in amazement. Pau, Pir. It seems to be working. The Song of Remembrance, the ancient melody, the very song of Sihanin and Corellon is pulling them back through time to the dusk of the Eladrin.
Lila's eyes light up with excitement as she watches the effect of the Song of Remembrance begin to take hold. She steps up next to Elendil and Valrissa, her voice blending theirs in a chorus of power and harmony as she sings the words of the ancient melody with all her might. "Come, hear the song of your past," she cries out, her voice carrying with a raw emotion that is impossible to ignore. The music swells around her, echoing off of the Academy's ancient stones and filling the air with a shimmering aura of magic and memory that seems to transport those who listen back to a time long ago.
Mistweaver's eyes shine with an uncontainable excitement and awe as she listens to the song of remembrance echoing through the grounds of Frostburn Academy. The ancient melody seems to stir something deep within her, a longing for a time that has long since passed, yet still holds a powerful allure over her very being. She listens intently as Elendil's voice joins Lila's, creating a harmonious blend of sound that resonates with an almost palpable energy. As she watches the students gather, their faces filled with a mixture of wonder and yearning, she finds herself purring softly, a gesture of approval and support for the song that now flows through her very essence, calling to all who can hear it.
A group of guards come out of the college and move towards the group. "Come with us right now. You should not be on campus."
"Come on, lads. Let's show these guards the proper way to treat a guest," he says in a growl, and he begins walking towards the guards in an aggressive manner with his battle axe raised.
"Wait," Lila calls out as Gromgar steps forward. Her eyes narrow as she turns to face the guard. A flash of her past life passes before her mind's eye, a lifetime of protecting those weaker than her. And in that instant, she understands that confrontation will not resolve matters. "I'm sorry for the inconvenience my companions and I have caused. We mean no harm here and will leave the campus immediately. But please, there is a matter that we must discuss before we go," she begins, trying to choose her next words with utmost care. She must find a way to keep the guards at bay long enough for the song to do its work.
Avendor fires Amathana, the bow, at Elendil. The first one strikes the strings of the lute. Immediately the music ends, a sound of off-tune erupts from the lute as the strings snap. The next arrow strikes Elendil in the chest. The guards move forward. "They are under my command. You think you could surprise me after invading my dreams?"
Elendil falls over as blood erupts from his chest, as the enchanted arrow strikes him.
"Leela!" Elendil's voice trails off weakly as he collapses onto the ground, blood beginning to spill from his chest. He gasps for breath as he sees Avendor's arrow, the power of the Song of Remembrance cut short by her treachery. "You!" he coughs out, his face pale and his body weak. "I knew it. I knew." His eyes fill with pain and regret, the realization that he was right about Avendor, and the dreams that he had haunted him with a deep sense of sadness and betrayal that echoes from his heart.
Mistweaver lets out a long, mournful growl, the sound reverberating through her body as she sees Elendil fall to the ground. The wound in his chest is deep, and she knows that if they don't act quickly, he will die before her very eyes. She rushes over to him, her eyes scanning the surrounding area for any sign of aid. "Zay Nun," she begins to chant the ancient words of healing magic. She pours energy into Elendil's body. "Heal, heal, come back to us," she pleads, her voice filled with a desperate hope that somehow, someway, he will recover from this terrible wound.
"You cursed traitor. You have done this to one of my kin. There is a reckoning for this betrayal. For now, though, let me save his life. My arrow is not coated in a death curse. That would be anathema for us. If only you had let the Song of Remembrance go its course, you wouldn't be faced with a decision now."
Gromgar watches with grim determination as Elendil's life hangs in the balance before him. His eyes narrow in anger and betrayal as he looks at Avendor, a growl rumbling deep in his throat as he thinks of all of the ways in which he could tear the traitorous elf apart. But he holds himself back, his body tensing as he listens to Mistweaver's ancient chant, and sees the soft glow of healing as she works to save her dear companion. He knows that there will come a time for vengeance, but that moment is not yet here. All of that matters now is the preservation of life, and for Gromgar, that means ensuring that Elendil does not die before him. He waits anxiously, watching as Mistweaver's healing magic takes effect, and hoping against hope that somehow, some way, this brave bard will be able to pull through, and that he can be saved.
Ilara looks at the fallen Elendil, her heart heavy with sorrow and anger towards Avendor. But she knows that time is precious, and they must act now. She closes her eyes and focuses her will, and suddenly a shimmering portal opens up. We must take him through a shortcut to Nisus. Elendil has a chance. She grabs him gently and starts to move him towards the portal. I will follow with Gromgar as soon as we are safe from Avendor's men. She gives Elendil a comforting look before turning her attention to the portal, a fierce determination in her eyes. She knows the road ahead will be perilous, but for Elendil, she is willing to risk everything. Let's move.
Aye, let's be swift and decisive. Valarissa watches as the portal opens, and her friends begin to make their way through it. We may need all the luck and might we can muster. She steps into the portal and is immediately on the other side. I have never felt so alive, yet so in awe of the power I feel surging through me.
Lila steps into the portal last, her heart filled with fear and worry for Elendil's health. But as she emerges on the other side, the weight of her emotions seems to shift slightly. Nessus, she whispers in amazement, looking around at the unfamiliar surroundings. We are truly far from home now, my friends.
Valarissa and Lila move Elendil through the portal as it closes. Mistweaver stays with Elendil, pouring her magic into him. Gromgar and Ilara are alone on the ground of Frostburn Academy. Students start running away from the conflict. The guards' glimmer fades, revealing them to be soldiers of the Spring Fae. Avendor stands behind them, with her bow levied at the two of them. Take them alive if you can, but don't risk your lives.
Gromgar's jaw sets as he watches Avendor's guards prepare to attack him and Ilara. Well, this changes things. Looks like you and me are about to be on the run, lass. His hand grips his battle axe more securely, preparing himself for a fight. But then, a mischievous smile crosses his face, a glint of determination in his eyes as he looks at the soldiers. I might just take up their challenge. Time for a little dwarven hospitality.
Ilara watches as Gromgar prepares for a fight and smiles a little ruefully at his choice. You really should have let the song continue, Avendor. She turns her eyes back to Avendor. You could have prevented all this. But no, you chose violence. She summons up a bolt of fire and looses it at one of the Spring Fae soldiers. It seems we have no choice now.
Yes, now summon your armies so they can end these Fae and take your prize.
As she and Gromgar fight back against the Spring Fae and their soldiers, Ilara can feel the power of Asmodeus' voice, urging her on in the back of her mind. The words ring hollow in her ears as the world seems to dissolve around her, into a whirlwind of chaos. The time to talk is done, my love.
Gromgar roars as he charges towards the Spring Fae, his battle axe cutting through the air with deadly precision. The clack of the soldier's armor rings in his ears as they attempt to stand in his way, but he pays them no heed. Come on, you pointy-eared buggers. Let's see if you can keep up with a dwarf in battle. He swings his battle axe with all of his might, aiming for the head of the nearest soldier.
The army of Spring Fae back up from the fierce dwarf. Two of them stand their ground to Gromgar, trading blows. One of the crumples from a swing of Forge's pride. The second, more skilled, keeps Gromgar on his heels as he deftly deflects the swings with his longsword.
You've got skills. Pointy ear. Gromgar grunts as he watches the Spring Fae soldier deflect his blows, his brow furrowed in concentration. He can tell that this one is different from the others. More agile, more skilled, and more determined. A worthy opponent. Okay. You think your swordplay can take down this axe? Let's see how you handle a real battle then, lad.
Ilara's eyes burn with an unquenchable fury as she fights off the Spring Fae and their soldiers. The power of Asmodeus courses through her veins, his voice a constant reminder of the purpose that drives her now. Bring them all down, she snarls, her flames and magic flying from her hands as she casts spell after spell. The Spring Fae that were once beautiful and vibrant, now charred and twisted, their screams echoing in the air as they crumble under the power of her magic. You will not stop me from reaching you, Arvandor.
Arvandor levels her bow at Gromgar. Diabal amediaksh, siens go biachfil tu kumachtach, achtadu kara fosmafa.
Gromgar looks up to see Arvandor's arrow leveled at his throat and grins with determination as he replies in a voice filled with strength. Well then, better get your aim right, or you'll be the one with a hole in your throat last. He swings his battle axe down at the soldier who had been dueling with him and lets out a fierce roar as it comes into contact with his target. Time to put this pointy-eared blighter out of commission and send your men running.
The arrow fires true and slams into Gromgar's armored torso. The power of the arrow throws Gromgar, but the armor Thorgan Hammerfist made for him holds up, at least for now.
Yeah, just a child. Gromgar roars defiantly as he stumbles backward under the force of Arvandor's arrow. His armor holds fast against the impact, but the pain lances through him all the same. You can't best me with just one shot, so coming in another one then. With a snarl, he hurls his battle axe back towards Arvandor, determined to send her fleeing in terror or end her once and for all. The blade flashes through the air towards its target, propelled by all the raw strength and fury that Gromgar can muster. His heart beats fast and strong in his chest, adrenaline coursing through his veins, making each move feel all the more powerful. He's not one to back down from a challenge, and the prospect of facing a female elf with pointy ears only spurs him on further, pushing him to the limits of what he can do with this axe.
Elara feels the air shift around her, and she turns to see Gromgar hurls his battle axe with all the might he has towards Arvandor. A fierce grin spreads across her face as she watches her loyal dwarf friend's valiant efforts. Arvandor, your love and obsession for me will be your downfall. She fires another bolt of flame at the soldier, watching the charred corpse crumble to the ground. They have all fallen, just like I know you will too. How?
Karellan's avatar draws her longsword Sahandrian and attempts to deflect the axe. The axe, made it in the halls of Moradin himself, slams into the longsword that throws the avatar back. As she falls back, she fires another arrow at the unarmed dwarf.
Devil's teeth. Gromgar growls in surprise and anger as he watches the arrow fly towards his chest. Time seems to slow as the projectile hurtles through the air towards him. In an instant of pure instinct, he leaps to one side. He lands hard on his side with a grunt, his battle axe, out of reach. The arrow slams into his leg and breaks through the armor plate. Even as he tries to roll to his feet, the power of the wound he just sustained begins to take its toll, and he collapses to his knees, gasping for breath and blood spilling from the wound in his leg. Fuck, this is not how it's supposed to go.
Now, you will have your true revenge. She strides towards Arvandor, her eyes gleaming with fury and triumph. You may have tried to stop me, to hold me back, but your fate has been sealed from the very beginning. You thought you could stand in my way? Thought you could take my prize away from me? She smirks at the fallen Corellon's avatar as she begins to chant her ancient words of magic once again. But you have failed. Now, witness my wrath as I bring you to the very edge of existence. The ground beneath them begins to quake and tremble, the power of her spell threatening to unleash a terrible force upon all who stand in her way. Even with the wound to Gromgar's leg and the fading strength of Arvandor, she remains determined, her focus unshakable as she prepares to unleash the full fury of her magic upon them both.
As the grounds tremble, cracks form in the buildings of the school, as lava starts to erupt from the ground and transform the landscape. Buildings begin to crack and crumble as the power responds to Elara's command.
Elara's eyes widen in alarm as she watches the cracks form in the buildings of the school around her. The ground tremble and quake with the power of her magic. She knows that she must act quickly before this place of learning and knowledge is completely destroyed. She closes her eyes and focuses her will, a desperate cry escaping her lips as she calls upon the dark forces that she has summoned from the depths of the nine hells. Hear me now and heed my call. I must secure the ground of this place, so that I may save my dear friend Gromgar. Let forth the legions of hell and lay waste to this accursed school! The very air seems to grow heavy with dark energy, as her command reaches the ears of the infernal forces she has called forth. With a sudden rush of wind, a legion of hellish warriors erupts from the portals she has created, the ground trembling beneath them as they pour forth, armed to the teeth and ready to lay ruin upon this place that has stood for generations of knowledge. Come, my minions, let us cleanse the impure blood from this place.
As the ground shudders and lava begins to flow from the cracks, Gromgar watches in shock as the infernal army that Alara had summoned from the depths of hell pours forth onto the campus. Despite the pain in his leg from the arrow wound and the dizziness from blood loss, he grits his teeth and staggers to his feet, determined to help his friends. I don't know about you lot.
Two devils flank Gromgar and begin to take him to Nessus.
You're lucky. I'm going to see my lass, Gromgar growls, as he is carried by the two devils, the weight of their massive forms on either side of him, his axe in their grip. Despite his anger and the pain that courses through his body from his wounds, he remains determined and defiant. Because if I wasn't for Alara, I'd make sure that you were the last things I ever see, he says, his eyes narrowing as they look over at the two devils.
Alara watches as Gromgar is carried away by the devils, a mix of sadness and anger twisting her features. She feels the power of the infernal force surging within her as she casts her final spell to secure the grounds of the school, determined to stop this place of learning and knowledge from being completely destroyed. But deep within her heart, she knows that there is much more to be done in the world, and she looks upon the ruins that her magic has left in its wake with a heavy sense of responsibility and a newfound hope for the future.
With the rest of the Spring Fae fighting the devils, Avendor moves forward to fight Alara.
Avendor recovers her longsword and advances towards Alara. Diabal, Iokfeh tu azanasa olta, akayad inyu, tush.
Alara glares defiantly as she sees Avendor approach her. The infernal energy surging through her veins makes her eyes burn with an otherworldly intensity, her form shimmering with a faint aura of darkness. I will take your head and claim it, Alara retorts, her voice cold and venomous, and the blood of the Corellon's avatar is already on me. His blood, the blood of his people, it has tainted my hands and stained my soul. But I will not be held accountable for my actions. For what I do for the greater good of all who follow the Lord of Hell.
As Gromgar is carried away by the devils, the pain from his wounds fades slightly, replaced by an eerie calm that washes over him. The ground shakes beneath him, the very earth seeming to tremble with the force of the magic that Alara has unleashed. His eyes glint with a fierce determination, even in the face of such overwhelming power, as he watches the infernal army pour forth from the portals she has created. If there is one thing I know for certain, my love, he whispers, his voice thick with emotion and tinged with a touch of pride, it is that you have always been one to walk the path that others are too afraid to follow. No matter what challenges may come your way, or what obstacles you may face, you have never once faltered in your pursuit of what you believe is right. What? His grip on his battle axe tightens slightly as he looks back over at Alara, his eyes filled with a deep respect and admiration for her unwavering resolve.
Go Leo de du Shreed Focalinba. Avendor retorts as she presses her attack. Her sword rings out as she fights with agile swordplay, not giving Alara the time to cast another spell.
Alara is pushed back by the onslaught of Corellon's avatar.
I will not be defeated so easily. Alara growls through gritted teeth as she is pushed back by Avendor's relentless attack. She grits her teeth as the force of the blows pushes her back, her magic sizzling in the air as she counters each strike with her own. Your sword will not defeat me, Elf. You have seen the power of hell itself unleashed in this place, and you still dare to stand in my way. You should have let the Song of Remembrance play its course. But now it is too late for that. Her voice echoes with the dark power that courses through her veins, her form shimmering with a faint aura of darkness that seems to pulse with an otherworldly energy.
Avendor presses her attack as she draws on the power of her divinity, her blade swinging with deft ease, left, right, left, each one causing Alara to bring up the crystal ruby rod to parry the blade.
You have no idea what I am capable of now. Ilara's eyes burn with an unearthly light as she presses forward, countering each blow with her own, her magic swirling around her in an ever-tightening web. This is not just me anymore. I have become something more powerful, something that goes beyond mortal comprehension. The crystal ruby rod of Asmodeus. No, not anymore. The crystal ruby rod of Ilara Glintshade, in her hand, crackles with an almost palpable energy, the very essence of darkness and hellfire. And yet within that power lies a strength and a resilience that cannot be denied. I have become the Lord of Hell, the ruler of the infernal. And now I am going to make you pay for your meddling in the affairs of those above you.
Avendor spits on the ground as she hears the word. Her sword then glows with a blinding light which burns Ilara's infernal blood. Before she can react, Avendor is within her guard and deftly disarms her. The ruby rod falls into the dirt and thrusts her blade through Ilara's chest.
As the light of the Corellon's avatar fills Ilara's vision and her heart begins to slow its steady beat, a look of pure shock and disbelief spreads across her features. Even with all the power of the nine hells at her command, even with the crystal ruby rod of Asmodeus, she had not anticipated this final blow. A tear of blood escapes the corner of her eye, glistening on her pale face as the life drains from her veins and seeps out onto the ground beneath her, mixing with the dust that has gathered upon the ruins of what once was a place of great knowledge and wisdom.
It is the power of the nine hells in your veins, child. Now you will learn that power is eternal.
Ilara feels the dark power that had once surged through her veins begin to ebb and flow as her mortal body is pierced by the sword of the Corellon's avatar. It is a sensation unlike anything she has ever felt before, a strange mixture of pain and ecstasy that seems to course through her every fiber. She gasps, her breaths coming in short, sharp gusts, as her blood pours from her body and onto the ground beneath her, staining the earth with a deep crimson that seems to glow with the essence of darkness and evil. It is not over, Arvandor, she whispers hoarsely, her voice barely above a whisper, as she struggles to find her words amidst the overwhelming pain and the searing sensation of the light that burns away her infernal blood. The power that flows through my veins now is not something that you can easily take away.
Despite her grievous wounds, despite the sword still in her chest, Ilara stands up. She doesn't even need to reach for the rod to feel the energy that courses through her veins. A strike would have killed her if she was still mortal, but she gave up her mortality when she became a Lord of the Nine. She feels the power of Avernus Haught in her hands, and now has a brief moment to act before Avendor brings up her guard again.
It is time to teach you a lesson, Elf. A flick of her wrist sends a dark energy coursing from the rod and towards the elf before her. A desperate attempt to send the divine power coursing through Avendor's veins back to where it belongs.
The light of the sword dissipates and is replaced with a dark energy as it falls to the ground. With a thought, the ruby rod of Ilara, Glintshade, is back in her hand, fueling her once again.
Nidiabhal Amadan Hanaraimi Tupund, Avendor says, as she draws her bow again. Her eyes look towards her sword, which now seethes in infernal energies.
As the infernal army marches through Frostburn Academy, the power keeping the seasons out shatters. Cold mountain air comes back with an onslaught onto the school ground. The wind rips tree limbs away, kills the flower as a tyrant of snow begins to fall on the grounds. Then the sound of fey horns sound. Ilara immediately recognizes them as the Army of Winter under the command of the Queen of Air and Darkness, the ruler of the Unseelie Court.
Elara looks upon the school grounds that have been ravaged by the infernal army. The once pristine grounds, now a battlefield strewn with the bodies of the dead. Even in the midst of all this carnage, the cold wind from the outside still finds its way in. The snow from the Queen of Air and Darkness's army slowly creeping its way towards the school building itself. And as she watches all of this, she can see the unmistakable sight of her beloved Tamaris. Winter, she murmurs under her breath, her eyes narrowing as she watches the army of the Unseelie Court approach. They have learned your secret. Now, the Avatar, Corellon's very own, is about to die.
A primal scream escapes Avendor's lips as she begins to send off a volley of arrows at Elara. One after another, trying to catch the Lord of the Nine off guard, and maybe escape the turmoil.
With a mere flick of her wrist and a muttered incantation, a frost creeps across the ground, the air around Avendor turning to icy shards that seem to pierce her skin through the air itself. She falls to her knees, the cold air seeping into her very soul, freezing her veins and turning her blood into a solid mass that beats no longer.
Elara, the Lord of Nessus, confidently walks forward, her wound closing as she walks towards the fallen Avatar. It is time to deliver your death blow and take the divine spark from Corella.
Her eyes gleam with a fierce determination as she approaches the fallen Corellon's Avatar, the winter's breath of the Unseelie Court still whispering in the air around them. I will not be denied, she hisses through gritted teeth, her hands trembling with the sheer amount of dark power that she has gathered within her. This was never a personal matter, Avendor. This was always about bringing back my beloved Tamaris, and I will do whatever I must to accomplish my goal. This was a test of will, she says with a growl. Corellon's divine power will try and repel mine, but I will not be denied this time. I will not let the power that I have come so far to gain slip from my grasp. She bends down to pull back the hood from the fallen elf's head. You may have had faith in Corellon and the gods, but you have seen what the gods have brought to this world.
There, Lara, now take her soul.
No longer shall my dear Tamaris be a pawn in the whims of gods. Her hand grips the hair of Corellon's avatar and pulls her head back, the life draining out of the once vibrant elven eyes. She can feel the essence of divine power surging against the dark energies within her, but she refuses to give in. The gods have not saved him before. Her voice is a guttural snarl, filled with raw hatred and anger. So now, I shall take his destiny into my own hands. She grits her teeth and whispers the ancient words of necromancy, feeling the dark power course through her veins, once again, as she calls upon the spirits of the Nine Hells themselves. I claim you, Tamaris. The very essence of life seems to leave the Avatar, as her soul slips into the waiting arms of the Lord of the Nine Hells herself, the darkness embracing her and swallowing her up completely, her once radiant form reduced to a mere shadow of her former self. But it matters not, for now her spirit will be free, and her heart will beat no more.
The Avatar falls lifeless to the ground. Elara can feel the divinity within her as she ascends to godhood. Her senses expand 100-fold. Then she feels Asmodeus within the rod, asking her to bring him back.
Now, Elara, you can return me to life and bring me back to the world. I can take my place on the throne of Nessus where I belong, and you can be at my side.
A fierce smile spreads across Elara's face as she feels the power of Corellon's divine spark coursing through her veins. She stands tall and proud, a newfound strength and a renewed confidence in her eyes, a stark contrast to the frail and helpless girl that she was when she first came to Frostburn Academy all those years ago. As the memories of her past life as a mortal fade away into the void, she can feel the essence of the Nine Hells coalescing around her, a strange mixture of the divine and the profane that makes her heart beat all the more fiercely. As she looks down at the fallen body of the Corellon's avatar, she feels no remorse or regret, for this was what she had wanted all along. The power, the glory, the very essence of life and death itself. I have finally reached my destiny, she murmurs with a satisfied grin, her eyes gleaming with a newfound arrogance, the power of the crystal ruby rod pulsing in her hand, ready to face whatever challenges lie ahead. I don't need you, she exclaims, the anger in her voice causing her to shudder, the very essence of her new power trembling within her. I am no longer the girl that you knew. I have taken the divine spark and claimed my place as ruler of Nessus. My destiny lies not in your shadow. With a wave of her hand and the faintest whisper of magic, she feels Asmodeus' soul, bound to the crystal ruby rod, forced to retreat to wherever the spirits of dead gods go. I banish you, for I am now the mistress of the infernal plane, and no longer shall you have any power over me. The words leave her lips in a cold, steely voice that seems to carry the very essence of the Nine Hells itself, a testament to the strength and the determination of the new mistress of the infernal realms. I have transcended you, and there is no way that you can turn me back to what I once was.
So the girl was worthy to rule Nessus. The voice of another mysterious spirit connected to the rod. You saw through Asmodeus in the end and banished him. You have truly ascended. You were born to rule the Nine Hells.
As the echoes of her words die down, a strange calmness seems to wash over her, her heart no longer pounding with rage and determination as it had just moments ago. In its place now is a quiet acceptance, a peaceful understanding of the power that lies within her, and the knowledge that she has truly claimed her destiny as the mistress of the infernal plane. I am no longer Elara, she says softly, a small smile tugging at the corner of her lips as she turns her gaze back towards the ground, towards the fallen remains of the Corellon's avatar that now lie before her. With a gentle touch, she traces her finger along the lines of the once beautiful face, a faint whisper escaping her lips as she does so. I have taken all that was hers and given birth to a new spirit, a new being, born from the ashes of what once was. With a final glance, she turns away from the sight, a newfound grace and a renewed purpose guiding her steps as she walks forward, ready to face whatever challenges may come her way. Her voice echoes in the silence of the school grounds, the snowflakes slowly settling upon her, once frail form, now transformed into a being of immense power and strength. She gazes upon the once vibrant grounds, now bathed in the pale light of the setting winter sun, her heart swelling with a newfound pride as she looks upon what was once a place of learning and knowledge, now a testament to the power and the determination of one who has claimed her destiny and ascended to godhood. This place, once it was a school of knowledge and magic, now it is the throne of the ruler of Nessus. This land, once it was a haven of life and growth, now it is the domain of one who has conquered death and despair, and brought forth the dawn of a new age, an age of darkness and eternal winter. And yet, she looks back at the still and silent body of Avendor, her fallen rival, now but a mere shadow of what she once was. Even in the end, it was not a true victory. It was but a means to an end.
Good evening, Lord of Nessus. What shall I call you? Says the Queen of the Unseelie Court, Queen Mab. I see Regratina Tustis.
I will now be known as Eterna, Elara answers, a satisfied smirk playing on her lips as she turns her gaze towards the Unseelie Queen. For in the darkness, the void, there is nothing but eternity. Her voice is now a cold, detached whisper that carries the weight of the infernal realms behind it, her body seeming to glow with the essence of the Nine Hells themselves. I have claimed my destiny as the mistress of the infernal plane, and I shall reign in Nessus for all eternity.
Very well, Eterna. You have done a great service to the Unseelie Court by eliminating that. She points at the fallen body of Avendor. My armies will now push against Corellon's domain and remove him from power.
That will not be necessary, Ilara says with a wave of her hand, the air seeming to crackle with the energy that radiates from her, the power of the Nine Hells at her command. As ruler of Nessus, it is my duty and my honor to claim the domain of all who have been cast down. And Corellon, he has fallen too far, has become too corrupted, and it is only right that he face the same fate as so many others. She takes a step forward towards the Unseelie Queen, her presence now filling the school grounds with an oppressive cold that seems to seep into the very marrow of the bones. The snow that has fallen now a stark contrast to the eerie stillness that has taken hold over all.
So you wish to claim the Spring Fae as well?
The coldness of the air seems to grow even more intense, the snowflakes now seeming to swirl around her in a whirlwind of pure white obscuring everything that lies beyond. I do not wish for anything. She states in a voice that carries the weight of the infernal plane, her eyes glowing with an eerie light that seems to pierce through the very fabric of reality. But I shall not deny myself the right to claim what is mine, and what is owed to the throne of the infernal plane itself. And as ruler of Nessus, it is my duty and my honor to make certain that the balance of power is maintained, and that the realm of the Spring Fae shall never again seek to challenge the might of the Nine Hells.
Very well. Do you have one to appoint in Corellon's stead once you eliminate him?
A thoughtful look crosses her face, the glow of her infernal energies dimming slightly as she takes the time to consider the question that has been presented to her. I shall seek out Lila or Elendil, she says at last, her voice a quiet whisper that seems to echo off the walls of Frostburn Academy. Both have proven their loyalty to me and to the cause of the Nine Hells, and both possess the strength and the wisdom to carry on in the legacy that I have created here. She turns her gaze towards the Unseelie Queen once more, her voice growing stronger with each word, and I will make sure that they are aware of the balance of power that has now shifted, that there shall be no challenge to my rule, no threat to the might of the Nine Hells in this land.
Very well, I will return to the Feywild and instruct my armies. Queen Mabs is looking at Eterna. Power alone can be alluring, but don't lose yourself. I found reason can help one focus and not become lost in the mantle of your power.
My reason will be my guide and my shield, she says with conviction, her voice filled with determination and resolve. As the ruler of the infernal plane, I am responsible not only for myself, but for all of those who follow the path that I have chosen. A smile tugs at the corners of her lips as she looks back towards the fallen Corellon's avatar. A moment of softness in her eyes that quickly fades away, replaced once more by the fierce determination that has always driven her to seek the power that she now possesses. But I will not be held back by the weakness of emotions or the confusion of ideals, for in the darkness, there is nothing but eternity, and I am nothing less than a child of the Nine Hells themselves.
End of scene.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.